the good, the bad, the ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Sustain
Nutrition.
Chewing
the
Fat.
Podcast.
Episode
133.
Seamless. Joe, what are we talking about?
Oh, the three core problems.
Absolutely.
Honestly, mate, I go to fill out my food diary sometimes and I'm like, it's like I wasn't on the earth yesterday because I know I've eaten something, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Did I have one tub or two tubs of Neapolitan ice cream? Let me go look in the bin, like a raccoon. The three core problems that we see people, obviously before they start working with us, struggling with on the old daily. And I think I know, Joe. These are very easy, well, no, not easy fixes. The simple fixes or simple things that we can implement that will stop you getting frustrated, that will stop you feeling like a failure, which is, I think, again, I know where people struggle because they don't understand why they can't stick to the diet, because diet is simple, isn't it? It's all about calorie deficit. That's all it is. You just have to be in a calorie deficit. Just maintain a calorie deficit. And because it's been oversimplified by that, which is the science of it, people think simple equals easy, and it isn't easy if you don't have these three things in place.
Absolutely.
You don't know what they are, do you?
No, I know the goal setting.
No. Purpose. Having a purpose, where goal setting will fall in.
So people,
again, a purpose is going to be quite all encompassing. These are things that we highlight for people when they're, you know, maybe questioning whether they want to get involved with us or how our approach differs from others. But this sense of purpose, this reason for being on this journey, which will be goal setting, which will be motivation, which will be focus, which will be all encompassing. What do you see, Joe, being a salty dog of a coach, when people come to us, you go, what is the goal? What do you want to achieve? And they say,
fitter, healthier, lose some weight.
Garbage. Which is kind of like, no, it's not garbage. That's a very, very light direction of where you want to go, isn't it? But for us, we want to get, what's your saying? You need to pick that scab, that delicious saying. You need to scratch that itch. You need to get down to the nitty gritty and figure out why you want to get fitter, why you want to get healthier. What does that mean to you? You know, that's the question I always ask of people. Like, I want to lose some weight. I want to get some fitter. Okay, well, how much weight do you want to lose? Rough idea. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be set in stone. I'm not going to hold you accountable to that number. What does fitter mean to you? Because fitter might be someone being able to stand up on a bus. Fit might be able to someone run an ultra marathon. Where is it on that scale for you? And why do you want to get fitter?
Yeah, the why. Interestingly, I was just looking at the notes from a call I had this morning. And I think people, you know, we say that fitter, healthier, stronger, thinner thing. But often people can't get to that very quickly. You ask them what their goals are and someone will say, well, 3 years ago, I was able to do this and then COVID happened, and then and they go on this, and that's fine. But the problem then you have when you've got this long, I don't want to say ramble, but this long story, is there's nothing very emotive in there. So if next time you are then faced with, you know, you come home and you're tired, there's some chocolate in the fridge, if you've not got the crux of that story, you're really struggling to hold on for motivation. And one something that we use is this idea of repeating down your goals daily or weekly and reminding yourself of them, of having this constant referral to this matters. Because if you don't do that, you're stuck with this story of, well, back in 2018, I used to do quite a lot of rowing and then I bought too many crisps and people are stuck. Is my microphone down?
I don't know. It's making some funny, but maybe just put it on the desk.
What if I hold it like this?
That'd be beautiful.
Oh, this feels very very wrong.
Just put it on the table.
I can spy. Okay. Fine. And people don't have those specific goals to lean back on when they need to. And so this motivation, this focus, this willpower that people want is lost because they've not put in the work to do it. You don't have to spend hours, you know, a day or even 5 minutes a day on this. It can be 30 seconds. But that time is just so invaluable when it comes to being focused longer term.
Yeah, you know me. I just think if people got this massive reason to change, they've got this, you know, we talk about it all the time, like people are in a ton of pain, not necessarily physical pain, but like emotional pain, they're self-conscious, their, you know, confidence is low, their self-esteem is low, they're missing out on certain things because of their appearance. They hate what they see in the mirror. You've got this huge amount of pain that you want to move away from. As humans, you know, we're very good at moving away from pain. You take your hand out of the fire because it hurts. You don't just leave it in there for a while and go like, oh, maybe I can bear this a bit longer. You want to move away from that. That is still there 3 weeks into your journey, 6 weeks into your journey, 9 weeks into your journey, that desire to change. But you have lost focus on it. People talk about losing motivation, but you've lost focus. And that's a big part of our plan, isn't it? Like you said, that daily reminder, that purpose. Why am I doing this? Why am I living this intentional life? Why am I getting up and doing these things? Why am I ensuring that I get up when my alarm goes off and not just snooze? Why am I going to the gym when I don't want to go? Why am I, you know, spending an hour on a Sunday prepping some food for the rest of the week to make it easier? Like, what is the purpose? Who benefits from this? Who suffers if you don't do it? Again, it's so much deeper than lose some weight, get a bit fitter. Like you said, those times when you're struggling, when that chocolate is calling your name, if you're like, I'm not going to eat that chocolate because this is the path that leads me down. That's powerful. You know, if you're thinking about, I want to be proud of the photos at my child's wedding, but not child, adult child, you know what I mean?
Kiss the your child, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But felt like I had to pre-frame that. That bit of chocolate is not going to be worth it. You have a purpose. You're doing these things for a reason. You're not just doing them because, oh, I can't eat chocolate because I'm on a diet. That's weak. That's really weak. That's not going to last for anyone. You're like, I'm choosing not to eat this chocolate because I'm choosing to be proud of what I've achieved in 3 months' time. That's more powerful. I'd even go a lot deeper than that. So, like I said, with the affirmations part, it's what does it mean to you? If you could get up and just go, right, to get what's desired, I need to do what's required. And if that means something to you, then that is good enough for me. That's powerful. It doesn't have to be, like you said, a 4-page essay on why you're going to choose not to eat in a certain way, or why you're going to slightly inconvenience yourself by taking food with you to lunch, or, you know, you're going to go for a 10-minute walk after you've eaten lunch. You've got to give yourself the reason to do those things.
I think there's probably two sides to this as well. Thinking about some of the people that I work with and talk to, is that if you talk yourself out of doing those things, then you need to focus more on the reality of the situation. There are also people who spend a lot of time obsessing over how crap they look, how crap they feel, how bad this whole situation is, and how it's so awful. There comes a point when you can do these things too much, and it's finding that healthy middle ground. So if you're already obsessing over these things, then maybe you need to take a step back and look at the reality of that situation, because some people apply too much pressure. Someone said to me today, I don't know if I can do this forever. Don't worry about that. You've not got to worry about how you eat tomorrow today. You've not got to worry about how you eat next week today. I've not got even got to worry about how I'm going to eat tonight right now. All I've got to focus on is how am I going to eat well between 11:30 and 12. And people get so lost in the future or the past, and they're beating themselves up over the past or worrying about the future, that then they get lost and separated from the present and stress themselves out unnecessarily. So there's definitely two groups of people here, and people tend to fall into one or the other. They're either not looking at their goals, and they're telling themselves that they're not that bothered and they don't really care, and then they do. And the other group of people who tell themselves that this is so important that their whole life and happiness hinges on this, and therefore the pressure gets too much, and then they use food for comfort because that's what they've always done. And so depending on which side of the coin you are, then depends on which way you need to go. But for the most part,
the place to start for most people is actually looking at your goals. Most people don't do that. They don't have these clear goals and these clear reminders about why. They don't ever look into the why. I was talking to a lady today who had some brilliant stuff. I said, you know, what are your goals? I said, I've got it in front of me here. I want to change my bad habits because I go to them when I'm tired. Sometimes I have ice cream just because I want it. And then we got further in and further in. And she said, you know, my son's 7 months old and he doesn't have dessert after every meal, but he sees me eat it. I feel like a hypocrite. And it was like, wow, bang, there you go. That's the one. That's why it's worth 5 minutes of talking about this, because and why as a coach and how you can do this on your own is to say, what else? What else? What else? Because what happens is people give the soft, fluffy stuff. I like to be a bit more confident and healthier. What else? Or why? Why is that important to you? Give me an example. That's how you can get there yourself. Right? Why is this important to me? Why? What are the moments of pain? And sometimes you have to focus more on them. A good example with myself, I might have used this one before, is my Bell's palsy physio. So my face is slightly distorted because I had Bell's palsy 5-6 years ago. And it doesn't bother me most of the time. And so I don't do the exercises because I don't have to. So it doesn't bother me. If I want to be motivated to do that, then I need to look at that situation. I need to look at photos of me. And when I do the Loom videos that we do for clients, I consciously now make an effort to look at the crease in my face and go, this is 5 minutes of work a day for me to get around this. And when I do that, I do the work. When I put my head in the sand and say I'm not that bothered, I don't do the work. And this is very different to most people's examples here, because that's just a line in my face. It's like a deep wrinkle. Other people's lives, you know, I was reading this to James before, because I did a survey the other day for emotional eaters, and the answers that came back were just so stark. You know, some of the words: shame, disappointment, rage, anger, ashamed, regret, guilt, disgust, not being all or nothing, I'm restricting or binging. And that is from the first 4 people that filled that out of 50. And the other 46 are just the same. Is that there's some really powerful stuff in here if you dig into it. And that's where the motivation and the focus lies that you need. But it's because people hide away from it. And I get that it's painful. But in that pain, there's a lesson. There's something you can get from this. One of my clients today was saying, I sat with the discomfort. And rather than looking at it as painful, I looked at what it was giving me. And I thought that was brilliant. I absolutely loved that. This idea that the comfort of not eating high calorie food is teaching us something. And it's just that little reframe, rather than being like you said before, that dieting attitude, I can't have this, I can't have that. But what's that pain teaching you? It's a skill, that ability to outlast discomfort. That's where health and fitness and happiness in a specific reason to you is built.
Well, it's proven to yourself that you can do it, isn't it? I think that's something that really excites me, is when you get a client who will check in with you and they're like, oh, you know, last night I was really tired and my partner suggested getting a takeaway. But instead of doing that, I, you know, cooked the meal that I had planned. And you're just like, okay, brilliant. You know, any regrets from you not having that takeaway and eating that food? Like, oh, actually, are you feeling pretty smug that you did that? And they're like, yeah, I feel great. I'm so happy I did that. And you're like, that's so exciting, because now you've got 2 bits of evidence there. One, that you don't have to behave like that. You don't have to have a takeaway when you're tired and you're grumpy and you're hungry. And 2, that actually behaving in the exact opposite way is better for you. You know, you feel better for doing that. So, you know, again, a lot of what we do is challenging beliefs. I'm not going to go full coaching here because we're talking about these issues, but it's challenging your old beliefs so you can change your identity, which, again, it's not necessarily one of the 3, but going back to purpose, to the lady that you were talking about there, you know, she's gone this, oh, I want to lose some weight and, you know, maybe get my confidence up. I didn't speak to her, so I'm just filling in the gaps here. And she's gone like, so a way for me to reduce my calories is stop eating desserts. Okay, cool. Is that going to get you really far when you really, like, I've got that sweet craving going on? Probably not, because you're like, well, it's just one ice cream, it's just one dessert. But then she's gone from that to, I want to be a great role model for my child. How much more powerful is that? The next time you're like, I'd really like an eclair. You're like, but I really want to be a great role model for my kid. Like, I know it's quite extreme. You know, I'm not saying like you're going to be the best parent in the world just because you don't eat an eclair, because there's going to be times when you want to eat eclairs. But it's getting that kind of depth into your the reasons for doing it. Again, it's moving away from just a goal to a purpose. There's a reason why I'm choosing not to do this, why I'm choosing a different I suppose a different life, isn't it? A different outlook, a different mindset. And that's far, far more powerful. That's going to pull you back from the edge a lot quicker than just like, be nice to lose a bit of weight. Be nice to fit into my old clothes. That's a classic goal from people. What's your goal? I want to be able to fit into my old clothes. Why? And again, don't want to spend the entire podcast on this. It's great to have this nice, fluffy, bright goal. I want to be able to do this and do that and blah, blah, and that is important. But also, let's look at what it's costing you right now. What happens if you don't change? What happens if you keep on going down this road? What happens if you have to keep on getting, you know, the next size up, 16, an 18, a 20, a 22, a 24? What's that costing you? Who's that affecting? How do you feel right now? Like shit.
That's when you get the real pain, isn't it? Just to finish that off. Because then people go, oh, actually, I've been cancelling nights out and I dread nights out and I stand at the back and I edit every photo. Now that's a lot different. And it's the same coin of I want to fit my clothes, but it's the other side. That's the real driver. And I always think when you get that from people, you think this is the driver that person needs. Because you're already not fitting into your clothes. So, and I don't get me wrong, I'm sure that is a big driver for some people, but it's the pain rather than the reward, I think, for a lot of people there. And it's hard to talk about that. It's hard to talk about the pain. It's much easier to just say, I'd like to fit into my clothes. Okay, but where's the driver? And is, you know, you can sense it. I'm sure you know that I know that you do, and other people listening to this will. You can hear the difference between the wishy-washy stuff, the less personal stuff, when people dig in, get the personal details that are specific. And obviously everyone's is going to be different, but it's just trying to find that one that's powerful for you.
And it's important to have both sides, you know, that push-pull, you know, the push-pull goals, isn't it? Like I said, you know, because you've got that pizza presented in front of you and you can go, I'm not going to eat this pizza because in 3 months' time, I want to be able to do X, Y, and Z. That's great. But then, and again, it depends on the person, and I feel I react well to kind of like negative motivation, if that makes sense. But it's always like, I'm not going to eat this pizza because I don't want to go back to being massively self-conscious about getting changed in front of people, because I don't want to have that awkward feeling of walking into a shop and not being able to pick clothes, because I don't want to be in that changing rooms and see those three-way mirrors where I can see my back fat. You know, that's powerful for me. Like, I'm moving away from this and I don't want to go back there. But also, you know, you've got that kind of dream goal. So I think that's definitely a part where people don't explore. They don't explore what's it costing you right now.
I'm conscious this is a three-parter and we've put some serious time into the first bit. Human beings are wired to avoid what's going on right now. Is that if you say to someone, right, I can help you to feel better by Friday, or in a year's time, I can help you to feel better. Everyone's going to choose that short-term piece. And so what you've done there is, I don't want to go into the shop and try these clothes on because that's a more immediate piece. Whereas if you said, when I'm 55, and don't get me wrong, there is part of that. There's obviously going to be the long-term goals of being, you know, around for your boy. But it's just not as immediately rewarding. It's why people struggle so much with health as a goal, why people don't tend to change, because it's so far off for most people. There's very few people who are at death's door with their worries about health who come to us. It's always this idea of, well, in 20 years time, I'll look after that. There's no pressing need for now. And sometimes you need to have that now to make you work. Right.
Yes. Let's move on. Number two. So number two that we see is people have either low or no support and or accountability, usually both of them, which is a killer. And again, this is a real common thing for people, like, I need to be accountable to myself in the nicest possible way. Being accountable to yourself. I've been accountable to myself for every single decision that I've made in my entire life, definitely adult life. But look where that's got me. Needing to be accountable to a coach. You know, it's a nice idea. And ultimately, you are. Even if you're accountable to someone else, you're still accountable to yourself, because you still have to do the work, because you still have to log in, because you still have to check in with them. You know, I could start ignoring Johnny. I could just not answer his messages. I could not answer a call. I could, you know, ignore him on the street. That's still my accountability. Just having that external accountability. And again, I think a big important bit, I'll just wrap this one up on my own now. Important bit is that it's not someone who's emotionally attached to you or your food choices. Because you should just let shit slide, wouldn't you? I remember trying to PT Tanya back in the day at Fitness First. And I don't think, like, the staff knew she when I was, I think it's maybe before we married, knew that we were, let's say, boyfriend and girlfriend together, partners, but probably the members didn't. And she just shouted F off really loud in my face whilst I was trying to coach her on the rower because she didn't like what I was saying. You can't, you're too personally involved. You need someone outside of that circle to give an unbiased opinion to question what you're saying is really true.
I was talking to a client this morning. I'm going to find her check in with me because it was really good. She said something to the tune of, you know, I have a physio because I have a sore shoulder. I have a strength and conditioning coach to help me be stronger. I have a running coach to help my running. I have a nutrition coach to help me with my food. And I'm presuming, you know, people don't have these things at all times, all the time. But it's being willing to find the things that you're not good at and asking for help and getting guidance on those things, because nobody is in the top 10% of many things. And in fact, statistically, you're going to be in the bottom 50% of things. We all like this idea that we're above average. And actually the reality is there's a lot of things you've got to be below average in. We all want to be able to do everything all the time, but that humility and that openness to ask for help and to say, do you know what, I can get better faster if I accept that there's more that I can do here and I'm willing to invest time, effort and money into that. People who pay attention. I just think it's such a good phrase that once you are, obviously we're going to be slightly biased with this stuff, but we have coaches across multiple areas of our lives because we are part of that thought process that some people have. And I believe that the people who are more successful are the people who have that. I don't think that success is born from God-given talents. I think it's born from work. My brother coaches recruits, or trains recruits in the army. Well, at one point he did, not sure what he does now. But that was, he would always say, I don't care if you're the fittest, I want you to be working the hardest. So if you won that race, but you know, if you were the fastest person over a mile and a half, but you cantered in, he wouldn't have as much respect for that as an individual as the person who came middle of the pack or the person who came second last, who'd absolutely busted their balls to get there, because that's all that you can control in that moment in time. Now, yes, there's obviously past history is going to play into that, but all you can control at this moment in time is this moment in time. So there's no point beating yourself up for the things that have gone before. You just have to focus on what you can right now and getting help from someone else, being accountable for your decisions. There you go, brought it back just about, is what you can control right now. That's something you can do that's going to give you a better chance of being successful longer term. It's just as cut and dry as that. There's nobody who starts it. I can never think of somebody who started with us and gone, God, my food's got loads worse this last week. Never, never, ever, ever. And 9 times out of 10, if not 19 out of 20, people will eat so much better in their first week and they will lose weight immediately. I can think of people who are starting coaching with me now and their first week, you know, I've looked at their food and thought, this isn't great. And then they lose 3 pounds. And you think, wow, that must have been a big step forward then. And that's something that, you know, we've learned as coaches, is to not, that first week, you just got to sit there and keep your mouth shut because you have no idea what's going to happen. People will give you this big story about how well they eat and how, you know, consistent they exercise and all the protein and veg and water. And then they send a food diary in, which is completely different to what they fed to you. And then they lose loads of weight. You just can't, it's not that you can't trust people, but you can't really trust people in that sense. And once you become accountable, it is an absolute game changer once somebody starts monitoring what you're doing.
Yeah. And I think by trust, you mean people accidentally underreport. There's tons of studies on this, isn't there?
Yeah, it's completely lack of awareness, don't they? People just don't know because, you know, people will say, well, I don't buy chocolate biscuits, but they're always at work. Well, and that's why I like tracking the way that we do, because you have a list of the food that people have eaten with none of the excuses. And then you send it to people and go, what do you think? And they go, oh, wow, because they've justified everything. Everything is justified. Everything, there's a reason behind every decision. And, I was talking to a client about this the other day, and she was saying that when her husband was in hospital and they asked about his health, she could hand on heart say, yeah, he always looked after his health. You know, she said the people there didn't care about excuses. You know, if she'd gone well, he worked long shifts and he had a really stressful job, they don't care. No one, like, your health doesn't care whether you've got excuses or not. Your health markers will not say, well, I know you had 10,000 calories extra last week, but it was really hard for you, so we just won't count them. This is simple stuff. This is calories in, calories out. Or, you know, not saying that's the only marker for health, but whether you've had a stressful life or an unstressful life, your health will be negatively impacted by large amounts of high calorie food. And so,
that ties in really well with that, like, non-emotionally attached, because if she was, you know, seeing him like, well, no, he did have a drink because he needed that to unwind, or, you know, maybe because he, you know, he couldn't sleep unless he had two glasses of wine and a beer every single night, or, you know, he'd like to have a little chocolate after his thing. Like, having someone who's not, again, fall into that story of going like, yeah, but you have had a tough day. And that's why it's so hard when people try to be accountable to their kids, you know, or their sister or their partner, like,
or themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can just justify everything, whereas you just need someone to just go like, is that really true, Joe, what you're saying there, that you had no other choice? Is it really true? And then you'd be like, actually, no, it's not. And again, the support bit for us is everyone's notoriously, you know, their own worst critic. And we will be like, just so weak. You know, how many times do we have to pull people and say, would you speak to your best friend like that? What would you say to your best friend in the same situation where they'd had a bad day? And they'd be like, you're doing great. You're trying so hard. Just crack on. Like, speak to yourself like that. So having someone, again, external to be like, it's okay. It's just one meal. It's just one day. What can we do today that's going to have a positive impact? Just log your food for today. It's so good at keeping people on course. You know, this is why we do offer like frequent check-ins with your coach, because that course correction could just stop someone from dropping off and just going like, I've had one bad day. It's gone to two bad days. I failed. I quit. Like, no, you haven't. You just had a bad day. Let's just get back to it. And again, I think that's the massive value of having that support as well.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because my only goal for my clients is that they are happy and they achieve their goals. Whereas their colleagues, their partners, their kids will have their own conflicting sets of goals because they are involved in their lives. I'm not involved in any of my clients' lives. And so me and Chrissy last night, she gets home, do you want to get some chocolate? Well, I'm in a bit of a bad mood, we could get some. So we shared some. That wasn't actually what I needed or what I should have done. But because she'd had a bad day, it then took me along with her. And this is what will happen in your life. And this is what happens in your brain as well, is that your brain will look for that immediate gratification, that immediate pleasure, like mine did last night. I'd really like some chocolate. I've had a bit of a ropey day. Now, who is on my real side there? Well, the rational side of my brain, but the emotional side is working against me. Whereas a coach will always be that rational side, because they're not emotionally involved. And so they can cut through the clutter. They can give you the reality of that situation based off your own words. You know, I never say to somebody, you need to lose 2 stone for this holiday in 6 months' time, because I don't give a toss. It's your goals. You give me the goals and I repeat them back to you. It's much easier to do that, to give people that clarity and to take away the negative, you know, persuasive voices that are inevitable. Your mind is never going to have your back all the time. And if you're not getting the results, you know, if you've lost the weight and you now want to keep it off, maybe now's the time to be accountable. If your goal is to lose 3 stone, you've lost 3 pounds and you keep regaining it, now is not the time to step away from that, because you don't have the skills in place yet to do it.
And the accountability, I know for us, is a complete needle mover, a game changer. Because again, you know, you fall back to that, the schoolwork analogy, homework. You know, if a teacher said to me, like, just hand that assignment in when you're ready, just whatever. Like, I still wouldn't have done it now, 44. I still have it on my desk. I wouldn't be doing it, because there's no reason for me to do it. There's no urgency. There's no one checking in on me to do it. And that, for me, is just like making sure that you've done what you said you could do or said you were going to do is massive. Knowing that there's someone there. And again, but then when that's combined with the support, it's not like, you know, you're going to be like telling people off, why is your assignment on my desk? How are you getting on with your assignment? What can I help you with? Oh, you've been really struggling with this bit? That's cool. don't worry about it. Just put your hand up and say, I'm really struggling with this bit, and then we can figure it out, whether we need to take a little step backwards or just, you know, tone it down a little bit. It's figuring out where you want to get to. But let's move on to number three, which is going to be a poor mindset or skill set. I think this falls back into that bit of it's weight loss has been kind of, or people see it as a simple thing, that whole calorie deficit bit. And that's when, you know, you saying back to the emotional eaters, when people have this idea of shame, of frustration, of feeling like a failure. But if you don't have the skills to deal with the problem, that's not your fault. You just need to find someone who can teach you that or show you what to do. Again, which is where our job of coach is fallen, isn't it? There's no shame in not being able to do it. And again, you know, a very common thing, this might resonate with some people listening, is, you know, people go like, I've got this amazing goal. Going back to your other client, like, I've, you know, want to be a great role model for my kids. I've got this amazing goal, but I just still can't do it. What's wrong with me? Like, well, maybe you don't have the skill set. You know, like an analogy. This will be the first one of this podcast, I think. The one that I normally use with people when they get frustrated with that, I say, like, look, if I've said to Magnus, I'm going to take him on a helicopter ride. Sure, he'll remember it because I told him when he was two. If we're on this helicopter ride and something happens to the pilot, they have a stroke or pass out or something like that, I would have the most earth-moving reason to land that helicopter. You know, I would, wouldn't I? I'd have the biggest purpose, the biggest reason, the biggest motivation to land this helicopter. But I won't be able to do it because I don't have the skill set to fly a helicopter. So I'd either need that pilot to talk me through it, or I'd need someone on the cans, see that, headsets, like I've got on now, to talk me through it. And then I'd still probably need a bit more practice. But it's that skill set. And I couldn't feel like, oh my God, I should have learned how to fly a helicopter. Or, you know, all of a sudden you just go like The Matrix. I don't know if you've seen The Matrix, Joe. It's quite an old film for you. You know, you just don't learn it like, oh, I can fly a helicopter now. Like, just because I'm motivated to do it. So I think, you know, people get frustrated because they feel like it should be a simple thing. Well, I just eat less and move more. Yeah, that's a theory, but what's missing?
And it's interesting you say, like, because, you know, I could watch someone fly a helicopter and go, okay, I can see roughly what they're doing. I can copy with that. Whereas if me and you both have a really crap day and we're both tempted to eat high calorie food, and then one of us is successful and one of us isn't, you wouldn't see a difference. Now, there might be some skills that they can do, but most of this is in your head. Most of this is the lens that you're looking through. So thinking about the different ways that I could do that, you know, the different tactics that I use would be using reframing, would be, oh, you know, I've had a really bad day, but actually these things went well, or, you know, being grateful, or the reframing thing of somebody didn't not turn up for a call to actually aggravate me. Maybe something went wrong in their day. So you've got that. I'm looking at the positive, the situation differently. I'm looking at the positives. I can then distract myself. I can use meditation to help calm myself down. You know, there's loads of different tactics. I can focus my attention on things that make me happy. And they're all things that you won't see. You know, you wouldn't be able to watch me do that and go, okay, I've seen him do that. I'll just do that, because it looks like gritting your teeth. And there's that idea, isn't there, that that's just what you need. And yes, there are people out there that can do that. You know, you watch David Goggins or whatever, doing his workouts, and you think, well, he's just pushing himself really hard, and that's what he talks about. That isn't going to work for everybody, and it doesn't work for a lot of people. Most people have tried that willpower avenue enough times. You then need to look at, how are you going to think differently? This isn't a physical thing that you can just copy and mimic. It's something you need to learn and engage with and actually think. The other one's being present. You know, if I'm worrying about my day that's just gone, I'm worrying about the past. Right, and, you know, people spend so much of their lives in the future, the lady who was saying about, can I eat like this forever, or in the past, worrying about things that have happened. Whereas actually, all I can control right now is right now. And the only thing that's going on now is I'm talking to you, enjoying doing this podcast. I'm enjoying my job, sat in my comfy house. Now, there are no problems right now unless I choose to focus on them. I love the idea as well that that's a privilege to have. Like, if a tiger walked in here right now, I would not be thinking, well, I hope Sustain's all right in 6 months' time. And I hope me and Chrissy managed to move into this house, I'd be thinking, oh my God, there's a tiger. Because you can only focus on one thing at any one time. And so worrying about the past or worrying about the future is actually a sign that everything's okay right now. I appreciate that can be really hard for people to hear, because it's not validating their experience, but there's other ways of doing that. Anyway, I'm done. Mic down.
Yeah, but Fenton would take care of that tiger, so it'd be all right. He might even wake up. But those skills that you described there, the meditation, the reframing, those are all things that you've learned. Those are all skills that you have developed, that you weren't born with, that you didn't just... And there is sometimes, you know, we'll find stuff, we'll read stuff, and be like, oh, I've been kind of doing a version of that, like a bastardized version of that. I managed to kind of come up with that myself. But the things that you've learned, and then odds are if you've struggled with your weight loss for 20, 30 years, like those are skills that you need to learn. You need to be taught them. Again, that's what we do, isn't it? You know, it's about a lot of our coaching is about upskilling our clients so that they can be successful. And yeah, you just can't blame yourself for not having the right skill set. You need to go, right, who do I need to speak to develop this skill set?
It's why you need to look at the why, isn't it? Because if you don't have that backstory, if you don't know what the thoughts are in that moment, then you don't know where to work. All you've got left is willpower. And actually breaking this stuff down and spending time analyzing it is so, so important, rather than just looking at the food, rather than just looking at the exercise. Like, what's someone thinking? If you change that first, before you then try to change someone's food, you'll probably be a lot more successful. You see a lot of the, in fact, it might even be all of the binge eating protocols all say, don't try and diet, don't try and lose weight, just focus on this one thing first of all, because it's just too much for people. People who are likely to overthink. So you have to kind of reduce it down and make it more manageable.
So to sum up, after we spent 45 minutes on the first point, develop a great sense of purpose. So more than just goal setting, a reason as to why you're on this journey, a reason to do these things day in, day out, week in, week out, until you get to where you want to get to. Again, it's got to be more powerful. It's got to be deeper than just lose weight, get fitter. Why? What are you moving away from? What are you moving towards? Who benefits? You know, there's tons of questions that we ask our clients. We'll get into this. Second one was to get some support and some accountability. External support and accountability, not someone who's close to you, because they will just excuse your behaviors and, in the nicest possible way, your BS, your bullshit, just in case anyone know what BS was. And then the third one would be like, what's missing from your approach? What skill set do you need to develop to overcome these obstacles? And again, if it's around emotional eating, comfort eating, all or nothing mindsets, those are just, you know, three super, super common ones, but there's tons out there that you need to develop different ways of looking at. You can't, you know, solve the same old problems with the same old solutions. That definitely made that up.
And the third one, last bit, the third one ties into the second one, is that most people know about meditating and reframing and those things, but if you aren't doing them consistently, it's no good. You have to do these things until they're ingrained as habit, and accountability is often the vehicle to enable people to do that.
So if that all makes sense to you and it's something you need help with, drop us a message. Don't be shy. Join our free support group. Drop us an email. georgejames@sustainednutrition.co.uk. I actually stumbled through that, didn't I? Smashed it. And let's have a chat. Right, got to go, because I've got to speak to someone at 12 o'clock. Take care. Comb your hair. George, you want to say goodbye?
Bye.
Terrible.